time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Hey, thanks for checking in. We're live in Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard from the South Point Sportsbook inside the VSiN studio. No Mike Palm today. No Wednesdays with the Maestro. Circa opens up next week. He's got a lot on his plate. He couldn't quite make it in today. We will talk college football with Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated, coming up in about 5 minutes.
He's got the political run, too, political aspirations. So he's got
the
that.
Mayor,
I know Michael Lombardi's stay calm, vote Palm, got the buttons, wearing the buttons, and this thing's real.
Too many nicknames now to keep track of with Mike Palm. Let me give you this. So the big news yesterday in the NFL, some of the big news was the announcement from the Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. Going into a bye week, they're actually going to start Tua. When they come back and play in 2 weeks against the Rams, although they're 3-3, they're a game back right now in that division, and Fitzpatrick has been playing quite well. We talked about this earlier. It was 2004. Giants, Kurt Warner, Eli Manning. A friend of mine had a gigantic bet on the Giants under that season. He locked it away in the safe.
Gave up on it.
Yeah, he did. He thought it was totally dead.
Sure.
And so Kurt Warner, he actually tweeted out, he was the quarterback that year for the Giants before they eventually pulled him and said, no, this is going to be Eli's year. It's going to be his team. Warner said on Twitter, I know what my man Fitzmagic is feeling. In 04 with the Giants, we were a playoff team after 9 games, and I wasn't playing as well as Fitz. When they moved to Eli Manning, sucked for me, but I knew it wasn't about that season, but the future. And I'd have to say it worked out pretty well for the Giants.
Yeah, but they were a playoff team.
That season
they
were.
And they pulled the plug on it.
Yep.
It was, yes. Excellent. Good find. FTM at VSiN.com. You can always email Raja. Mitch and Paul, I love the show. Been glued to your show since the pandemic started. One note in my survivor pool. You cannot pick against the same team in consecutive weeks. If you took Miami in week 6, you can't take the Bills in week 7 because they played the Jets. This prevents ganging up on bad teams. Thanks for the great content and distractions from real-world problems. Arlington, Virginia.
Well, okay, now
some places have that in place. All right.
But eventually, we're going to have so many rules in place that you're not going to be able to select a team.
This is from, Arturo. It's the type of survivor I've played for the last 3 years. So where each team is assigned a value of points. This year, the Chiefs would have a value of 1. The Jets would have a value of 32. All other teams assigned a value from 2 to 31. Every week you pick one game winner, straight up money line. If they win, you get the assigned value. If you lost, you get no points for that week. Contest allows 3 misses, and then you're out. Winner is the player with the most points at the end of the contest. Contest continues until the end of the season, or if there's only 1 player left. Arturo, I love all this stuff, and they keep coming in, and I love it, about different rules, how to play it, strategy, all of it. As this is the first time, at least I'm doing it, with the Circa contest and DraftKings and being a part of a survivor.
We are getting so much reaction on both sides, right?
Uh-huh.
People are saying you're going to have like 20 people left at the end of a survivor. Uh-huh. Other people are saying, I don't think it's going to make it to week 17.
Are you talking about Circa?
Circa, yeah. Well, Circa Survivor.
I don't think they're aware that Thanksgiving's its own week.
Right. So the people that are saying it's not going to go through week 17 with multiple winners say that Thanksgiving, those 3 games will trip so many people up.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why it's going to eliminate so many people.
You might have, you're going to have 2 pick-ems. And maybe the other one, Dallas at home to Washington.
Yeah.
Suddenly's no gimme.
That's a pick-em this week, by the way, now.
There you go.
That game is down to a pick-em. Cowboys were 3.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down now because we saw what happened with that offense with Andy Dalton after Prescott left now for the season.
Love this discussion. It's fascinating. Keep them coming, guys. I love the feedback on this.
Welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. And we're going to kick off this hour by welcoming in Pat Forty, who covers college football for Sports Illustrated. Pat, it's been a while. How are you today, friend?
Hey, I'm doing all right, boys. How are you?
Good, sir.
Doing well. I was going to ask if there's any sense of normalcy at all to the season. My guess is no. Are you traveling to stadiums to cover games?
I have been to 3 games. I went to Duke Notre Dame for Notre Dame's first ACC game. I went to Army Cincinnati because it's a 100-mile drive from my home in Louisville. And I went to Miami Clemson. But honestly, covering them in stadiums is doesn't do you much good. So I'm not sure how many more we'll be going to. That's kind of all TBD.
Okay. Very good. Do you think the Big Ten, based on what's happened in the SEC, what's going on with hotspots, do you think the Big Ten can pull this off?
Well, I think they've waited long enough to get their house in order. They're going to have the daily testing. They have had it now for a couple of weeks. So that gives them a chance. The one thing is, for judging from other leagues, we've seen, I think, about a 10.6% cancellation or postponement rate of games. So that means they're going to lose games because there's no other place to put them. They, mm-hmm. they don't have any open dates to move games to. So basically, if you're going to lose 10.5% of 56 games, you're going to lose maybe six games, and that's probably going to impact how you figure out who wins each division.
Yeah, good point. Who's the second best team in the Big Ten, and is that team anywhere close to Ohio State?
Answering the second question first, I don't think anybody is close.
Okay.
You know, we'll see when rubber hits the road, but I would have said Penn State is the second best team, but then Micah Parsons opted out and didn't come back. Journey Brown, now their leading returning rusher, is out. They've got some other good running backs, but still, those are two pretty big hits there. They still are a pretty talented team, pretty veteran team, so they've got a chance. I still like Minnesota on the West. In the, you know, they've got Tanner Morgan back. Rashad Bateman opted back in. They're a great receiver. Just a really experienced offense, returning full offensive line back, which I always like. Defense, they've got to plug some holes, but I think they could be the best team in the West.
What do we do with BYU? They're very good. They have a stud quarterback. It's unfortunate because they played such a difficult schedule in the past that because of the pandemic and COVID, they were unable to do that. But what are we going to do with the 10-0 BYU?
Oh, it's a great question, Paulie. You know, I mean, they stick out as just this kind of intriguing argument. I just don't think they're going to have the schedule to mount much of a case. You know, I mean, beating Houston, coming back and winning by 17 points, that really stood out. I thought that was impressive. You know, pounding Navy to begin the season was good, but there's just, you know, they do have Boise State on November 6th. And if Boise is good, that really helps them. But there's so many other weak opponents in there that I'm not sure they can mount a case even at 10-0 for playoff inclusion.
How about for Wilson, this one single season for him? I mean, if this continues and they do run the table, okay, they don't make the playoff. And I hate the argument that, well, you know, he's not going to play anybody. The competition's terrible. But to me, like, every player at the D1 level should have a chance to win the Heisman. Maybe he doesn't win it, but if they actually have something in New York, which could be totally far-fetched, don't you think if he continues, like, he's got to be one of the nominees?
Oh, I think he's right up there, no doubt about it. And he does deserve the acclaim and the recognition. And people need to watch him play because he's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not just a good, efficient quarterback, but he's got some swagger to his game, some kind of daring, you know, some improvisational flair. He's a talented player, and he's fun to watch. And yeah, if he keeps putting up numbers and they keep winning, there's no reason he shouldn't be a quote-unquote Heisman finalist, even if they end up doing a virtual ceremony or whatever the case may be. You know, right now, he's, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is on top, and I'd put Jalen Waddle in there, but I would have Zach Wilson as probably my third choice at this moment.
Where's Mac Jones?
Oh, he's up there, but, you know, boy, that's tough. That's the hard part with Alabama. Where does the quarterback end and the receivers begin, so to speak, and vice versa? You know, I think Mac Jones is really good, throws a wonderful deep ball, but I also think he's throwing to by far the best receivers in the country.
Yep.
And they make plays that make him a better quarterback. So, you know, if I had to choose one guy in Alabama who I think is the best player at Alabama, I would say it's Jalen Waddle over Mac Jones.
I would agree. And we had that discussion yesterday on the show. If I run right by a DB and I catch a 90-yard touchdown, who gets the credit for it?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
both of them do, but in terms of, like, if you're trying to pick a star, you know, and that's like Waddle can do that in a way, you know, that not many other players, if anybody else, probably nobody else in college football could do. And if you look at that play, he not only accelerates and blows past Tyson Campbell, but he has to adjust at full speed and cut in a couple of yards to catch that ball. I mean, that was he made it look easy, but it's not that easy a play. You would see a lot of players either not catch up to that ball or drop it.
You know what's crazy, Pat? The receivers actually this year for Alabama, and they had two first-round picks last year in Judy and Ruggs. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. The receivers this year actually might be better.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, I love those other two guys.
Sure.
Who, you know, were great players. But these guys have been every bit as productive, probably more, bigger plays. And then you throw John Metchie into the mix, you know, and he's averaging like 20 yards a catch. You know, it's crazy. They have just become the wide receiver assembly line. They just keep churning them out.
By the way, what happened in this conference? Like, not that long ago, we were talking about 9-6 games in overtime, and then both those teams would go and play a national championship game for the rematch. You know, 20-14, it's a smash-mouth football. Now, the SEC, it's 63, 48, 45, 41. Like, that was quick.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It really is. The latter half of the 20 teams, they started to change. And, you know, as usual, things start with Alabama, you know, and I think Lane Kiffin got Saban to be more open to playing fast and to throwing it more, and actually losing to Hugh Freeze twice got him open to doing it. Then you bring in Tua Tagovailoa, and I think he saw how Tua played and fully embraced the idea of we're going to be wide open, we're going to throw, we're going to play fast, all those things, and everybody else has kind of gone along. And I mean, you bring Kiffin back into the league as a head coach, you bring Mike Leach in, Eli Drinkwitz has got Missouri playing faster and more open. You know, so I think the coaching has something to do with it. There's a lot of good returning quarterbacks this year, even though they lost a couple of good ones in Joe Burrow and Tua, but there were a lot of other good quarterbacks coming back. The receiver talent has never been better in the league. And the defenses have never been worse, quite frankly. You know, I mean, they have not played very well on the defensive side of the ball for the most part in that league.
Follow the Money VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Pat Forte, our guest sports illustrator, read him every week. Does a great job. Follow him on Twitter. Excellent job as always. A couple of things pointing out from your column. Why are we in a rush to give these coaches extensions? And oh man, you're just seeing it now with the crazy buyouts and coaches that are off to a slow start. Pruitt, Babers. Some of this is you'll make you nauseous.
Oh yeah, you know, and this is where we are. That's you know, schools have just gotten snookered to the point of any time you have one good year, we're going to give you an extension, we're going to give you more money, and it's basically to tie our own hands, even though one year may not prove that you are the guy long term. And, you know, I mean, for Tennessee to extend Jeremy Pruitt, coming off a 13-12 record his first 2 years, losing to Georgia State, I mean, the crowning achievement for him was beating Indiana by a point in a bowl game.
Yes.
And you want to give him more money and more years because of that?
Uh-huh.
In Tennessee? You know, and now here you are. You're 2-2. You were embarrassed by Kentucky. Worst loss to Kentucky since 1893. I mean, it's just, you know, this is what administrators do to themselves. So I've said for a long time, they're bad businessmen. They get put over a barrel by agents, and they just go along with things. I don't know why.
Did he fire somebody after the loss?
Yeah, fired his defensive line coach. Offense scored 7 points. They had 2 pick-sixes against them, and he fired the defensive line coach, who had just gotten there and didn't even have a spring practice with his players.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
He knows how to wear a mask, too.
Yeah. Hey, he stops the spread of ear COVID very well.
Yes, he does. All right, how about some of the marquee games here? I mean, we're running out of teams here to make a case for in the Big 12 for the playoff with what's happened to Oklahoma and Texas. How about Gundy and Oklahoma State at home against Iowa State?
Yeah, interesting one there. You know, Oklahoma State is basically the last chance for a playoff team from the Big 12. But Iowa State, you know, after the first loss was bad. You lose by 17 at home to Louisiana. There's no spinning that other than it's 2020 and everything was in complete chaos to start the year. Since then, the Cyclones have been good. You know, I think Oklahoma State has the best defense in the Big 12, so I'm gonna ride with the Cowboys there. But it's a close game.
Okay, and going back to the earlier question, you're probably right with the BYU schedule. But I think at some point we're going to run out of teams. Big 12 could be out. Who knows what's going to happen in the Pac-12? Can the Big 10 get enough games in? Well, how about the AAC here? A number 9 Cincinnati against number 16 SMU. This is a good league. If someone can run the table in this conference, I think Cincy wins Saturday because SMU's down their running back and their wide receiver, and they almost lost to Tulane. But this is a good league, and this is a big matchup, and I'll take Cincinnati. What say you?
Yep, I agree with you there, and I agree with you about the AAC. I mean, they should be out there pounding the table saying, hey, we absolutely deserve playoff consideration, you know, if we put forward a champion with either 0 or 1 losses, because yeah, that's exactly what I would do. You know, whether it's negative political ads or what, but I would be saying the Big 12 stinks.
Yep.
The Pac-12 is going to play like 7 games, and you're going to take that seriously? We should be in there with anybody else. And Cincinnati's good. Their offense has underperformed so far. If they click and put it together, They can absolutely go undefeated, I think. And I do like them in this game because of SMU's injuries. But the AAC right now, they should be lobbying hard.
No question. Final game. So we talked about the Big Ten a little earlier. You mentioned Minnesota, how you like them this year. Now they're catching 3.5 at home against Michigan. I mean, I think it's a coaching edge to Minnesota in this game. And you talked about the quarterback back, the receiver, the offensive line. Pat, this opened up 2 all the way to 3.5 right now. What do you think here?
I like the Gophers. Yeah. Really do, for all the reasons you just stated. And, you know, we'll just see. We'll see. Joe Milton, people are high on him. But we've heard that before about the Michigan quarterback. I had a stat in the 40-yard dash this week where Michigan's quarterbacks, from a pass efficiency standpoint, were actually better under Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez than they have been under Jim Harbaugh, which, you know, that's not what anybody signed up for when they paid Jim Harbaugh $8 million. So I want to see it from Michigan for once before I buy it. And right now I'm buying Minnesota.
Yeah, well said. Follow him on Twitter. He's at buypat40 and read him every week in Sports Illustrated. Pat, good to talk to you again. Thanks for the time today.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Excellent.
No, by the way, no doubt in my mind, Minnesota has the coaching edge in this matchup.
Wow.
Against Michigan.
Strong.
Well, Fleck is great.
I know
you don't think he's awesome? Yeah. And by the way, his recruiting classes now, and moving forward with the recruiting classes, the guy's been terrific landing all his talent. Minnesota, as long as I've been alive, it's like, Minnesota, are they ever going to be good in college football ever? Here you go. They finally are.
So Cincinnati's already up to number 9. They're playing a top 16 team Saturday. They have Memphis and Houston at home, and they go to Tulsa and they go to Central Florida. And UCF has issues defensively.
Yep.
Cincinnati actually plays defense. They got a shot. He's right. I mean, at some point, we're going to run out of teams here.
And like he said, if we get like 10% of the games canceled, postponed, well, certainly canceled, I would say.
That's a good program.
Big Ten.
I mean, remember going back, were they in the discussion? They went undefeated with Tony Pike, with Brian Kelly. I think they got blown out by Tebow in a bowl game, but
they also didn't. Cincinnati went to a bowl game against a good team and they blew them out.
Probably.
Okay.
But the league has done well in these big spots.
Yeah. How about this tweet from Chris Felica? There have been 11 ranked matchups this season, with 4 on the slate this week. Favorites have won 10 of the 11 and are 10-1 ATS.
Yeah.
The only upset, A&M. Their win over Florida 2 weeks ago.
Good info. Good info. We miss you, Bear. What have you been up to? Excellent tweets.
That's a good one. Email is always open. FTM@VSiN.com regarding the Bob Dancer interview from the previous hour, talking video poker. This is from Chris in Greenville, South Carolina. Wow, what a great guest interview. Now I truly know I have absolutely no idea how to play winning video poker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Join the crowd.
Yeah. You know what he told me during the break? I'm badgering him. I'm all over the guy. Let's go play Ultimate X together. He goes, you will be blown away how many mistakes you are making when you look at the software. And if you play Ultimate X, I go, that's why I want to hang out with you.
Like, that's your dream.
I go, let's go get a steak. See, we'll come. He goes.
And that
I go, I know I'm making mistakes, Bob.
Sure.
Let's hang out.
But we all know, Paulie, Ultimate X, that's your baby.
Yeah.
You love this game.
Yes.
And Bob looks at you right in the face and he goes, I promise you, you're making so many mistakes you have no idea.
Uh-huh. On what to hold. On strategy,
yes,
and what to hold.
Right.
Yeah.
So the software absolutely exists. It'll tell you what you're doing right and what you're. How about him, though?
That's a heaven or hell game. For move over, double, double. Heaven and hell is X. I mean, that is.
Yeah.
Whew.
That'll get you.
You know all about it. You know all about it. But that's to your frustration. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
No, I mean, when you're playing like 5-play on Ultimate X and you're dealt and you have like 11 times and 7 times and 4 times.
Like Chris B.
Oh, man.
He's betting
rush,
50 cents, 20.
The rush that you get.
Yes.
And then you get like.
If you are playing 5-play with those multipliers. And you get a Royale with cheese, it's like $40,000 minimum.
Yeah.
If you're playing 50 cents, a quarter is 20,000. I mean, it happened to me in February. I won $12,000. Finally happened. The drought was over with the dealt Royal. But Bruno got, Chris B got the 50 cent Royal 12 times. I mean, it's 24 grand.
Yeah. Well, I love Bob, though. On the nights that he would lose, I would go back and review my notes to make sure I wasn't missing anything. I mean, what?
That's tough to shake off. I don't care what. I just lost $40,000 in a session.
And what did I do wrong in my head?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'd play that hand.
How about the intestinal fortitude to sit there and keep playing when you're down 40.
Sure.
Because you figure I have the math in my set. I got out of there. I won 120. I got a couple breaks. I won 120. I was down 40. I walked out of there plus 120. How's that feel?
Yeah, that turnaround. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code VSIN20. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Win some, lose some. Coming up next. Are you ready for a faster way to win when you bet with points bets? You get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code VSIN250 to get a 100% deposit match up to $250. You must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, the number is 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and Illinois. It's 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Here we go. It's time now for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, couple props. Bet Rivers, Mookie did a home run and the Dodgers win. 5-1, double play prop went over. Strikeout props over. Didn't have a wild pitch. Didn't have a hit by batter at William Hill. So always good action here. And Bellinger, Mitch Moss, 14-1. Bellinger at Circuit hit the first home run.
I have not seen odds on that yet today.
Good call.
Around. I'm sure they're going to come out a little bit later on. But that was a good offer over by at Circus Sports.
And I lost because I bet first home run, solo home run. Oxford Bully, Bob. We love Bob Nance. Good guy. He sent this in. This will be up at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. It's over 2 minutes, but I cannot believe it. It's so good. Top five. I say it a lot. It is.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be top five.
The choreography, how long it goes on, the dog walking through the legs, jumping through the arms of the owner, keep going back. Look at this. They're in sync. I mean, they're the fine oil machine, fine tune machine. I mean, going back through the legs, jumping up. Check it out.
Like every move is spot on.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Right through. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. That'll be the tease. Get up there to check out the whole video. Boy, this one is emotional. This one's tough. This guy is hauling ass on the freeway. He's in France. He is moving. Oh, he's pulling over. What happened? And he's screaming, help, help, help. Then you go back and you look and you see another guy pulled over out of his car and he jumped out. Wait, what's going on? Where are you guys going? And the cars are on the driving by. And you see something in the middle of the freeway. They're saying, beware.
Yeah.
Get over, get over.
You
get
tell
over.
Me as he's getting closer. Right. What does it look like?
A kitten.
Yeah. I had no idea until he got like 5 feet away from the...
What is it doing there? What happened? Look at him. Look at the face, huh?
Don't you want to go out and get some kittens now today? At the house?
That was tough. That's a Rex Chapman special.
Paulie, they are so low maintenance.
Who?
They have no personality. They're great for you.
I got waterfront property to sell you. What a good time it was yesterday. Just hanging out in the community, walking the dog. There they are. Look at all the ducks. That's Vegas, baby. You wouldn't believe it. There's the ducks. Need the frozen peas. Need to feed them. Have a good time. I asked them, guys, you want to lay it with the Eagles? I can't believe the spread. They agreed. It moved. The ducks made a move. It's up to 4.5 now.
I'm telling you right now.
Look at I got Canadian geese. I got ducks. I got water up the you-know-what. That's great. And Bill Addy has got a place there. I never see him. He lives down the road. I never see the guy.
When's the last time you watched Sopranos?
It's been a while.
Start to finish.
Been a while, but underrated. Michael Lombardi had a good gem from the other day. Did she just say she's knocked up? I turned my head. They slip one in on you.
Yeah.
Uncle Junior. I met him before. He's great.
You met him?
Yeah.
Where?
Meet and greet with Bobby Bacala.
Here in town?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They signed autographs. I took a picture with both of them.
I know.
They're great. Yes.
I never knew that.
Love Bobby Bacala.
So the reason why
Mike Palm set that up. I want Bobby in studio.
The second time, I think he lives in New York now.
Who cares?
Yeah, the second. Okay, this is my second reference now. Go back and watch season one. Tony Soprano is absolutely obsessed with
the Ducks.
Yes,
in his house. The Ducks. Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm Tony Soprano.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
that's right. I won't kill you though. Got
the,
verbally.
You got the gumas.
Look at this. At the World Series yesterday. Come on. That's a 3-pound hot dog.
No chance on earth.
With jalapenos, with nachos, with cheese, with the chili. I mean, mercy. Come on.
What would it take for you?
Nothing.
Paul, I'll give you $100 if you finish that.
No, please.
Five?
No.
$1,000?
To finish it? I'm not finishing that. No, I'm a huge dog.
Eat as much as you possibly can until you think you're going to be sick.
I'll do it for a nickel. Okay. How about this? Rob Manfred. I don't like this. They're thinking about keeping the expanded playoffs. As you said, not if you stick with 162.
I can't do both.
We don't want. No, I want the runner to start on second base in extra innings.
Sure, it's fine.
That I love. Matt Vasgersian tomorrow. See what he thinks of that. That's also lose some. Nigel went 4-1 with soccer picks yesterday. He likes Stoke, by the way. I didn't know there were that many soccer matches. Amateur hour. Check it out. And looking lucky on Twitter. He bet DeChambeau in March at DraftKings. He was told it's still good. It's valid.
Okay.
So we're 3 weeks away. Make sure you know all this, guys.
Good knowledge. Up next, we'll get to our in-pocket plays and a weather update for this weekend in the NFL. We're talking about almost a 50-degree drop and snow. First week of a full college football schedule, and we've updated the VSiN college football betting guide, including all the teams from the Big Ten, the MAC, the Pac-12. Get the guide and everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season. Get this, it's only $129 from now through February 8th. You're going to get our weekly digital betting guides with pro and football previews, 24/7 live video stream, daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest. Breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews on vsin.com. Get in the game. Go to vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. In pocket time. I had a loser last night with the Rays and Tyler Glasnow +155. Did not have in pocket, but later on in the day came back with Bellinger 14-1 for the first home run. Nice job by Circa posting those props like we talked about. I am betting, right. I'm making a political bet. I did this earlier. I am betting Donald Trump to win Pennsylvania +180.
Why?
Based on the current number, I think it comes down. And from what I was seeing last night, who knows? The polls, again, to me, don't really mean much in the first place. But news came out last night that Biden's lead in that state is shrinking, getting smaller by the day, evidently. I am no political expert. But from the people who I was reading social media last night, and I saw people who live in that state. They're absolutely involved in this, and they said, I don't know how the Democrats think they have it locked up.
Okay, I saw $4 not that long ago.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
And this people were saying everywhere I go, it's nothing but Trump. So that number to me, I think it's going to keep coming down based on that knowledge and the +180. That's why I took it.
Eagles 3.5 tomorrow. It's moved. Rays +180 to win the series. We'll find out if we got one today, if Snell can bounce back in trouble here. Half a unit, Rays in 5 at Circa, 11-1. Half unit, Rays in 6, 7-1. Half unit, no. Will there be a triple? Not triple play. You think a triple play is 4-1, guys? Jesus. Will there be a triple tonight? Half unit, 4-1. The fun bet, why not, for some action. You guys think a triple play is 4-1? Okay. What does Mike Palm have? That is, will there be a triple tonight at William Hill, 4-1? Nothing from Mike Palm. Okay, so he's very busy. The other stuff, too, and I'll go quick on this. You're out of line on Twitter and you're out of line on email. I don't think you tip slot attendants that much. So I don't have a problem with what Bob does. Bob is also a professional. Is Bob supposed to tip when he loses 40,000? Mm. No, but he did. Do you tip when you lose 40 grand? Mm. It's a whole different discussion if you're talking about bartenders. If you're regulars, yes, then his tips are a joke. But should he give more when he won 400,000? Okay, sure, fine. Mm. But they're slot attendants. They exist because they have to come over and hand pay you.
Right.
You can't hit the cash out button. If I had a $3,000-$4,000 jackpot, I'll give them $100 or a couple hundred. But that's because I play at the D and they know me.
Sure.
I'm a public figure.
Or
but
other
that's,
spots, right.
Yeah, but I don't think you tip slot attendants that much. There's nothing wrong with saying, I just won $2,000, here's $40. To a slot attendant,
mm-hmm.
that's par for the course.
I think people will automatically say you got to give a $2,000 winner. You give the slot attendant $200.
No way.
Because here's
not on a slot attendant.
Yeah, here's the deal on a slot attendant. What have they done that night to give you that kind of service?
They haven't done anything.
You haven't even seen them.
No. Amen.
Not once.
Bring it home. Bartender, okay. Different argument, different discussion entirely.
Yes. If you're known
not a slot
Cheers,
attendant.
Right? If they know your
right.
name as soon as you walk in. That's a total, yes, right. That's when you go above and beyond. But
stay in your lane.
Some of these emails I'm getting now.
Well, come on. You asked, like he said, what I do at the valet and what I do at the restaurant has nothing to do with what happened when I was playing.
That's right.
But that's, yeah. We're not talking about restaurant or valet or anything. These are slot attendants.
Sure.
You're not giving a slot attendant 10%, 20%. Bartenders, all that, yeah. But everyone's different. Bill 80 just walked by and said he saw Bob. Bob's playing. He goes, it's like watching Mickey Mantle take batting practice.
Awesome line. Terrific line.
A-plus, Bill.
So
and
good.
I'm a hard grader. A-plus, Bill.
Yep.
What do you think tonight?
Retiring.
Gosselin, how long does he go? Who's coming up behind him if he only goes a couple innings? He's been a mixed bag here lately. He had some good starts in the regular season. To me, it comes down to, I didn't let you answer. It comes down to what am I going to get offense? I think the Rays can get something going tonight, but that's a big if. Going back the last 10 games, 3-4-4, 3-3, 5-4, 2-2-1. Held the 3 runs or fewer, 6 of the last 10.
Okay, so the biggest problem and why I could not get there with the Rays on a series price, although I bet them last night plus 155, I couldn't get there with a series price is because I cannot trust them when they're at the plate. And now you're telling me that over a span of 7 games, they have to outscore the Dodgers in 4 of those games? Clayton Kershaw had the highest percentage of swings and misses ever in his career last night. This is not peak. This is not prime Clayton Kershaw. He's still really good, but he had 38 swings, 19 misses last night. So that tells me that this is going to be an ongoing problem for them. Maybe they get to, but against Bueller, against Urias, against other guys, I don't see this team scoring a lot in this series. It's not who they are. Maybe tonight's a spot where they do it. But last night, that was the Dodgers team that we know and love, man. That offense, Mookie Betts playing like that. Defensively, Bellinger 2-run shot, then he goes out there and Smoltz thought he took a home run away. I don't know if that was a full-blown robbery or not, but...
You know, what happened with... And I know a lot of people are saying the Dodgers are lucky to be here and what happened, but what happened to the Braves? We didn't do enough on that because it was so crazy with Sunday going into Monday. I mean, that's 3-2 in Game 7, second and third, nobody out, and you run into a double play.
Yeah, correct.
That's in the misery of Atlanta sports continues.
Yep.
What's happened. But see, it comes down to Snell. I mean, and if they can get this game, they're fine because,
sure.
To me, Morton against Bueller is a hell of a matchup, and Morton's been phenomenal in these mm-hmm. big games.
Let me go back to the tease from 10 minutes ago before we took a quick break. This is from our buddy Chad Andrus, who lives in Denver. This is the second time now this year where Denver's having a drop like this. Remember they had that in the summertime where it went from like 92 to 40 degrees? The forecast in Denver this week, Broncos playing the Chiefs. Paulie, it is 70 degrees on Saturday, partly cloudy.
Yeah.
On Sunday, it drops to 23 with a 40% chance of snow.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? So the forecast here, we'll see how accurate it's going to be, but a 47-degree drop in one day and then snow? Did you see the Midwest yesterday? Pounded with snow.
Yeah?
Pounded. It was 85 degrees 2 weeks ago.
Look at us. Yesterday was 91 out with the Ducks. Monday's going to be 56.
Yeah.
It's high. It's finally here. Oh, Andy Dufresne. A little bad news for Derek. 56 is the high. That's a tough beat. Well, I know it's 103 degrees in that two of those pools, but still.
Yeah. We were like, yeah.
Tough.
But how about that now? Chiefs, Broncos could have some snow football already.
Suddenly there's a cop waiting outside when he crawls through now. I made it. I got you, Andy. Andy,
sorry.
You're going back.
Here are the cuffs. Put them back on. Adam Hill joins the program next. We'll talk UFC 254. Does he give Justin Gaethje a legit chance against Khabib?
Thank you, Mitch. Big Ten is back. There's a game Friday. Get ready for all the big games at Bet River Sportsbook. Take advantage of the big return special. Make your first deposit of $50. Get 100 in free bets in exchange. How about the menu again? All the props for the World Series. And like last night, Mookie hit a home run and the Dodgers to win 5-1. If you're already a member, you can enjoy their daily special bets exclusively on BetRivers.com. Great customer service, one-time playthrough. Must be 21. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. This guy would know too, Adam Hill. He's unbelievable. Las Vegas Review Journal. Hey, Adam, what do you tip a sports book writer?
Oh, man. This is always a confusing one to me. It's always something. I'll say that first of all, because I think way too many people are just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, the margins are so small for a better. That it does become tough, like you start to cut into your bankroll by tipping. But
yep.
I just think it's important to make you leave something. You've got to do it.
Do you compare them to slot attendance? Do you tip slot attendance? You got to do it, but small.
I mean, here's a secret, Paul, that I think you're going to be a little bit stunned by, especially knowing your habits and knowing how long I've lived in Las Vegas. I've never played a slot machine.
No, that's an upset.
Ever.
Wow. I can't believe that.
Never.
All right.
Never.
Wow. Yeah, but like if let's say you hit a bet, a parlay for like 2,000, you're not going to leave 10% for the ticket writer. That's absurd.
Yes, exactly. I mean.
Yeah. It's also, well, here's the other problem that you have. Usually it's not the same person, right?
Yep.
That like you put the bet in with, which becomes a little bit difficult. It's a really tough decision. I just want to always make sure that you gotta leave them something. But you're right, because how you're so unlikely to hit that parlay anyway. You're not going to hit it very often when you put it in. So if you're leaving 10%, you have zero chance to win as a bettor.
Yeah,
zero.
Exactly
right. Yep. Well said. Well said. Okay. What's this Khabib GSP business?
Well, it's very possible that Nurmagomedov only has one fight left after this weekend if he wins. I still don't believe that. I think it's all a lot of talk and a lot of, Nurmagomedov's had a rough year. We know that his dad is so important in his life, and his dad passed away. And, you know, one of the things he's told his dad is that he wasn't going to fight that much longer. So he wants to kind of honor that. So a lot of this talk is, hey, listen, if he only has one more fight, it should be a massive fight for him, a massive fight financially, a historic fight, all of those things. And so it would make some sense if you beat Gaethje and you're only going to do one more to make it some sort of historic moment like that. It's some sort of fight that's going to make him set for he's already set financially, but just this one big send off. But what does it do for GSP? Why would he do it? Unless he needs money that I don't really know about. I don't know. It's a weird one, but it is, if you're trying to find him something to go out on a really high note, it would make some sense. I just don't know what sense it makes for St. Pierre.
Okay. So what about this weekend then? It's a great card. We've all been waiting for this main event. It's Follow the Money here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Adam Hill's our guest. He covers UFC and many other sports for the Las Vegas Review Journal. I'm looking at Khabib right now as high as 350, and Gaethje is plus 290, and he was so dominant against Ferguson. But Adam, that's like back in early May now. So that's like a full, like 5-6 months ago now. Do you give Gaethje a legit chance, and do you think plus 290 is a good number on him?
So I actually do give him a chance. And then here's here's the thing. I've never really given anybody a chance against Nurmagomedov before. Nurmagomedov's a guy like three fights into his UFC career. I started with the, hey, he might be the best that we've ever seen do this. And people thought it was nuts. And this is one of the rare things I got right, I think. But I've been all over Nurmagomedov, not only as somebody who tries to handicap the fights a little bit, but also as somebody who covers it, just saying he was going to go down as historically one of the best fighters we've ever seen. And I think he has done that. He's set that legacy, and he's been so dominant against everybody. But I think Gaethje is the type of fighter that could give him a lot of problems. It's tough to, if it was pick, of course, Nurmagomedov is the way you got to go. But when you start looking at this line and getting almost 3-1 on a guy in Gaethje, who has been so good, so tough to beat. Now, he's lost a couple of fights, but he's been so dangerous for everybody. If he can thwart a couple of takedowns, which I think he can, he's got the wrestling background to maybe fight off a couple of takedowns early. And if he could do that, if he could just get the fight standing, he has shown that he could damage anybody. And listen, if there's one vulnerability that Nurmagomedov has had, he has taken some shots before, and he has been wobbled a couple times. Now, what he's usually done in those cases is then come forward, get the takedown, and then dominate people on the ground. But if Gaethje could just get a little bit of confidence by fighting off those first couple of takedowns, I think this becomes a real challenge for Nurmagomedov. And I think there's definitely a shot for Gaethje to be able to do that. The problem is, can you fight off those first couple of takedowns? Because a lot of people have said they think they can do it. A lot of guys have gone in saying, hey, I don't think he's going to just steamroll me. And then they go in there and they get Nurmagomedov. So we'll see. I feel like this is the type of fight that could actually give Nurmagomedov an issue. And where is he? I mentioned what he has gone through with his dad and the struggle that his dad had with COVID-19 and battling it off and all of the anguish that Nurmagomedov has gone through and that he's talked about it. His dad has been the most instrumental person in his fight career, both, as a spiritual advisor, as a father and as a coach, his first mixed martial arts coach. So yeah. He's been the most vital person in his life. And this is the first time he's going to go in there without him. How does he react?
Adam, to your credit, I can absolutely recall this was years before Khabib ever fought McGregor.
Yes.
And this is when McGregor was killing everybody. And you said, if they ever fight, Khabib will absolutely destroy him. And I remember the reaction that you would get. You're like, what? What are you talking about? And you're like, trust me on this. McGregor has no chance at all against Khabib. And you were spot on with that. What about the round prop? It's 4.5. The under is a -175. Over is +155. Anything there?
Yeah, I would go under. I mean, I don't like to lay a price on something like this because I think, you try to look for plus money. If you're looking at a number like this, you would say I'd like to look at the over first. But I just don't know that there's value there. I think this is a fight that absolutely could end pretty quickly. Nurmagomedov, of course, if he gets Gaethje on the ground, could pout about it. Gaethje has been stopped before. I mean, he is he's a zombie at times. He's tough to finish, but he can be finished. And I think Nurmagomedov could finish anybody on the ground. And on the other side, Gaethje's best shot is obviously a knockout.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Nurmagomedov knocked out, but like I said, we have seen him wobble. And Gaethje has unbelievable power. So I think this fight could absolutely end fairly early.
Yep, he sure does. What's your second most anticipated fight on the card?
Man, there is so many fights coming up on this card. And by the way, really, really weird to have a fight card this big and this massive and this expected. Dana White said yesterday he thinks it's going to be the biggest card they've ever done in the UFC, which I think is preposterous, especially with the weird start time in the U.S. I just think it's going to be very difficult. This is a big, massive international fight, of course, but it's going to be difficult to have those kind of numbers that Dana White is predicting. But it is a big card. I do want to see how Walt Harris responds coming back. He's another guy. We talked about all the emotion and everything that Walt Harris went through, and then coming into a fight where he looked so good for a few minutes and then all of a sudden got destroyed. I want to see how he bounces back and how he's kind of gone away. He's kind of got to get out of the spotlight a little bit, get out of the, out of all this public scrutiny that he had. Not, scrutiny is the wrong word, but all this attention that he was getting, and then to go back and kind of just settle into his own family and kind of be with his own thoughts and now try to come back and fight again. That's where you really want to see how he reacts a little bit. So I want to see how he does. And nice little plus price on him going into this fight as well against, you know, a guy in Volkov who is very, very good, but just is, he's so old and just doesn't look, he never looks like much when he steps in there. And then all of a sudden he's able to find wins. But I think Harris at a plus price could be pretty worth a look.
We have like 2 minutes here. Do you have a favorite bet on the card?
You know what? I mean, I do, as much as I said, it's a tough one to, you know, to really bet against Nurmagomedov. I think Gaethje with that value is a bet that I like. It's one that I would look at taking and one that I wouldn't be too stunned by. And then I also like Tai Tuivasa against Stefan Struve. Stefan Struve is, he's been around forever. He's, you know, he's a guy who has some impressive wins on his career, but Tuivasa just has so much power. And I think he could find Struve's chin, which has been a weakness of Struve throughout his career.
Okay, very good. Let's go rapid fire here. Fights that we might get. These are on the board at the Westgate. John Jones against Adesanya. Jones is -150. Adesanya +130.
I just think Jones is too big. As much as I love what Adesanya does and how impressive he's been throughout his time in the UFC and as a kickboxer, I think Jones is just way too big for him. I think it would be a tough fight for Adesanya, but I do want to see it, and especially want to see the build-up to it.
Oh, no kidding. How about Ngannou against Jones? Ngannou listed as a 150 favorite.
Oh, man. I really want to see Jones tested at heavyweight. I want to see how he could transfer, you know, his speed and his power and everything and then move up, how much his speed will translate at heavyweight if he puts on some pounds. But I want to see him take that punch. I want to see if he can do it.
Yep.
That is one that, you know, that is one that I'd really, really be anticipating. And I think I would have to lean Ngannou in that spot. I mean, he just has just dominated everyone. And to see, you know, Jones come up who has not taken a shot like that before, how would he respond to it?
10 seconds. Does Chimaev have a chance against Adesanya if they fight?
I think, yes, he has a chance against anybody. So does he have a chance? Yes. I would like Adesanya, I think, in the fight, but I really want to see it. Shmaev has just been unreal.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks, pal. Enjoy the fights.
Of course, anytime.
Yep, there you go.
Thanks, Adam.
At Adam Hill, LVRJ on Twitter. Good show today. Bob was great.
92.
92.
You know, Bob also has started Mercurial. You know, oh, he started everything with the tips.
No question. Bob, absolutely.
He's a genius, yep. So.